Please determine the quorum.
No, we're serious.
Here.
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 Okay, there is a quorum, and we put these little microphone-y things right here so they can pick us up on the radio. Anywhere you can. I almost forgot until I saw Cheryl reach over and get hers. So. All right, would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, before we start, we have two new board members we are very happy about. We have Megan Lister and Jay Lister. I think I will call them Megan and Jay. And they will be serving until the election in October, at which time we hope they will both choose to run. All righty. The first thing is the approval of the agenda. And under the agenda, the way it works is we have the consent agenda. And if there's anything on the consent agenda that you want to talk about, you could ask us right now and we'll pull it off and talk about it. But the consent agenda is things that we don't usually discuss at the don't have to discuss at the meeting, but if anybody wants to, you can always say. Last time I actually pulled one thing off that I wanted to do a little more work on. So
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda for May 20th, 2014.
I second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve the agenda. I can't remember if this is a roll call or not. No, it's not. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. 5-0. Okay. Student representative report. This is the last time for our student representative, Nicole Peterson. And this is her she just finished up her second year with us. And she is graduating. Congratulations. And how many days did you tell me?
Well, there's 14 days till graduation, but only four school days until the last day of school. Because we get Monday off because it's Memorial Day. And so there's a lot going on because it's the end of the year. So baseball's headed to Juneau tomorrow evening for games with Thunder Mountain and Sitka. And then the weekend after that, so next weekend, the day before we get out of school, they head up to Sitka for regionals. And track and field, girls took first, and then boys took second regionals. And then they head off tomorrow evening for state in Anchorage. And Skipper and Abby got student of the year for this year. And the high school play started at 6:30 tonight, and there was an art show that me and Robin Schwartz and Emma Peeler had put together from 5:30 to 7, so I think it's over now. But we'll still have our pieces tomorrow in the school commons. And then, we have exciting news since we're going to be graduating. There's new people coming in for ASB. So for president, we have Skipper Erickson. For vice president, we have Adana Kernvick. For secretary, we have Hannah Funt. For treasurer, we have Sarah Tate. For Sergeant at Arms, we have John Brooks. For school board representative, we have Van Abbott, who's here tonight. Getting his foot in the door. And then for city council, we have Marissa Nielsen. And then for library representative, we have Jasmine. I'm very sorry for that one. For Parks and Rec, we have Nico Larson. And for curriculum steering committee representative, we have Leanne LaPerry. And for public safety advisory representative, we have Kelly Engel. And then for humane society representative, we have Marie Giesbrecht. And then they haven't elected their class officers yet.
Okay. Thank you.
And
Van, the way this works is you come and sit up here with us, and we will have a name tag for you. And you can be as involved in the – you can't actually vote, but you can be as involved in the meeting as you would care to. I know oftentimes Nicole leaves early because she has various other things going on, but you're welcome to stay for the whole thing or pieces of it, however it works out with your schedule. We would be happy to have your input and comments on other things on the agenda, too, if you'd care to.
Okay.
All right. Comments from... Oh, correspondence. Do we have any correspondence?
We do not.
Okay. Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items. Comments from the audience related to agenda items. Usually we take those up under that agenda item unless you... Okay, comments from board members. Quiet. The consent agenda. Can I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda for May 20th, 2014.
A second.
Motion been made and made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Nellis.
Yes.
Jim Lister.
Yes.
Cheryl Hungry?
Yes.
Cheryl Weiner?
Yes.
Megan Lister?
Yes.
Okay, administrative reports. Superintendent.
Thank you. Well, I have a couple of great staff things. I am pleased to be able to be the first to publicly announce that Sue Harden will be the commencement speaker at graduation. So we're excited about that. Quality speaker. Secondly, Caleb Collum, who works with John Painter in our technology department, recently returned from a pretty intense, almost, I think it was a full week, 4 days to 5 days, of training with Apple hardware and Apple software. He passed all his, it was very intense, passed all his tests. He is now Apple certified hardware and software, which frees John up now to spend more time in the instructional end of things because Caleb can now do this without being supervised by John because he is just as licensed as John. So that's a huge thing in the Apple world, just so you know. It's worthy of... And thirdly, Dr. Lisa Stroh will be in town next week, May 28th, 29th, and 30th. She's going to spend part of the day on the 28th with some members of the staff, with the Professional Development Committee, with the principals, with the maintenance, and then she is seeking housing. She's looking for housing. That's why she's here. So I'll try to get you contact with her if you want. And middle school, there's a lot of stuff that the principals and Dan Tate will talk about. We have middle school, elementary school transition going on. The SBA scores have arrived, and they're studying those, and they'll go into more detail. Dan will be giving a report on the construction, Karen on the budget, and Jamie on the activities. And if I were to talk about all those things, I'd monopolize the time, and I would steal from them, and I do not want to do that. So that's my report, Madam Chair.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Rob? All right. Thank you. Maintenance report, Dan Tate.
See if I can work my way up here.
Yeah, watch out for that.
Well, I'm happy to report, as always, our facilities are in a good state of repair. It's been a busy month. The nice thing that I can tell you is that we traded in our snow plows now for lawnmowers. And I think that's pretty much a good thing at this stage in the game. Work continues on the Stedman Elementary remodel, and I'll report on that later in the meeting. However, in conjunction with that project, we had two 53-foot containers dropped off on Dalvin Street in front of the elementary. That's going to aid in our storage concerns once we have the staff and the kids out of the school. We'll move the office furniture and classroom furniture out there most likely. We also moved what was once the construction building built by former students and retired teacher Steve Sipper from its longtime resting place in the elementary playground to a unused space on the east side of the pool. We plan to use that as an equipment repair shop, a space suitable for noise and noxious fumes and things that we can get away from the educational spaces, and that's something we've lacked in maintenance. So we're looking forward to that opportunity to do a few more things in that facility that won't impact the educational mission.
You need to work on those lawnmowers. You have somewhere to do it.
Exactly. We can run them out there to our heart's content. last month, you as a board authorized the repair of our boiler in the middle school, and that was accomplished last week by Jaffa Construction. A state boiler inspector was also on site and certified that critical repair as a sound repair. The modification to the other boiler, which is adding the high-efficiency burner, is scheduled for next month if all goes well, and we're looking forward to having that taken care of. Rand's McIntosh has removed gutters on the original side of the high school shop and has removed fascia that has rotted and spliced in new sections as needed. We're going to have Glacier Enterprises come out and install a new metal cap over that fascia and put matching gutters up, and that should happen fairly soon. I have accomplished web training on two cloud-based software packages that we purchased after my trip to School Dude University last April. We will put a utilities tracking software online, and that we'll have that online this summer to ensure that we're operating our buildings as efficiently as possible. The other product is a facility scheduling software that should streamline a generally cumbersome process of scheduling and coordinating events, staff, and district resources. The software will have a community-based web portal that should allow any person or group the ability to seamlessly schedule an event with us, showing them what facilities are available to rent and the associated costs and associated costs with utilizing district resources at the time of booking. We are eagerly awaiting repair parts for the student section of our bleachers. It's been a long process to get those here, and I can't unfortunately guarantee that they'll be installed by graduation. They're on their way to Seattle right now. It's going to be really tight if they show up in time.
So what is it again?
We had some boisterous cheering going on during the basketball season, and several plastic seats broke.
Oh.
And it's been a process getting them in there because that particular seat has been discontinued. And it's been a process getting them here. So we're not talking about a great loss of seating for graduation. It's just not as sightly as I'd like to have it for such a prestigious event. But we, of course, hosted back-to-back a roller derby, reportedly to a packed house Friday night in the high school gym, and the annual Mayfest pageant Saturday afternoon. And let's not forget the Mummers performed three nights in our auditorium. So we've been very busy. Summer plans are in full swing. Deep cleaning supplies are on their way. We took possession of the new digital LED marquee sign, and we're working with the theater to determine when we're going to get that put up in place, and it could happen fairly soon. An electrical upgrade to the high school shop CNC router is slowly coming together. A new transformer should be on their way shortly, and this will help extend the life of the machine's motors. I think I reported on that way back. That's also been a long haul getting that one to its final completion. The gym floor is scheduled to be refinished in July. That's always a big deal. We're also planning some ADA, that's Americans with Disability Act compliance modifications, mostly bathroom facility issues. Most notably, we need to expand the size of the high school shop's bathroom to meet their requirements. I have been seeing new completed art panels that I previously reported on. These are the panels that are being produced by the high school shop and the art department. And they've been coming down to my storage space, and as I reported in the past, we're looking forward to putting those up in the commons over the summer. So look for a new look in the commons when you come back. We also hope to spruce up the exterior of the district office with some new skirting, paint, and deck repairs, and perhaps even rebuild sections of that deck if we find that to be needed. Plus, there will be a multitude of smaller projects and classrooms and common spaces too numerous to mention. That's our painting and general maintenance and upkeep items. Any questions? Cool.
And your department works all summer long.
We sure
working
do.
Working on repairs, yes.
We actually really enjoy the summer.
You sure do, as the light and call.
We don't have so many fires, and we can just really give it our mind to getting major projects done for you folks.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if our new members were aware that you were year-round employees and not. Well, not everybody, I guess. The janitorial staff is
they're all full-time.
They're all year-round.
They
okay.
basically switch into more of a maintenance function.
Okay.
They'll be, besides their deep cleaning, they will also help us with rebuilding certain things.
Any questions? Cheryl.
I just have a quick question just because I think it was last year we had a meeting with the city and we were talking about our energy. And because summer is coming, and what I do is I unplug a lot of things and turn things off. I didn't know how would it affect the school if we were to unplug our smart boards and things that weren't being used.
And I do that. That's one of my favorite things to do. I go classroom to classroom, and I look at the thermostats. I look at all the little red LED lights, and if it's glowing, I unplug it.
Okay, I was just wondering, because it's like it helps.
Every little bit does help. I appreciate that. We do
so I appreciate that you do that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, principal's report. Rick Dormer. High school.
Hi, good evening. Oh, as Dr. Thompson alluded, there is a lot going on. So some of the highlights are, first of all, we just had some great opportunities. You saw the Elk Student of the Month, and I was fortunate to be invited to that dinner. Just some great opportunities to honor some of our real high-achieving academic and real high-character kids, and that was a great event. Again, thanking the Elks, thanking Vic Troutman for putting that on. We had a National Honor Society inductions and National Junior Honor Society inductions, which is also, again, just a great time to honor kids that are really excelling academically, as well as in character and leadership and service. So that's pretty cool. A lot of kids, with a lot of parents were able to make that out, which is nice. Thank you, of course, to Rachel Etcher for leading the Junior Honor Society, and Joni Johnson, who leads the high school branch of the National Honor Society. As you heard, we are doing some fifth grade transition work and working with Erica and specifically Mr. Kowalski and Mr. Sullivan, and that's kind of fun, actually. This is a class you always go in there and know a few, and then you recognize kids and think, I have no idea that kid was in fifth grade, and kind of learn a lot about them. So Rachel and I went over and saw the fifth graders on Monday, and we were able to kind of give a presentation, and we brought some current sixth graders with us, and it was fun just to answer some of their questions. And, you know, is it really strict? There's lots and lots of homework, you know, just those type of things. So it was really fun. The kids were really cute and very well behaved. So that was great. And then we're just doing some more. Teachers have been over there. Special ed teachers have been over there observing. And then, of course, the big stuff on Thursday is they will walk over. Now the fifth graders will walk over and sit in the seats and just kind of get a feel for those classrooms. So it's all great stuff. And then that evening, too, for parents that are listening, that evening at 7 p.m. in the high school, middle school library is a parent information night for incoming sixth graders. And that's just a good time. Rachel will be there. I'll be there. Mr. Kral will be there, as well as, I believe, teachers as well. So just a chance to kind of get some questions and meet the people and just get a better feel for what's coming up pretty quickly, actually, as things go. Also, congratulations again to a couple outstanding concerts, I thought. Hopefully many of you were able to make it, but the high school concert, the middle school spring concert, both I thought were just really top-notch. And it's just a really commendation, I think, to Matt Leonard, what he does, but also just, I think we have our eighth grade class, you know, is very large and put a lot of time in, our current senior class, and then just obviously a lot of supporting groups, but really was musically some of our better performances, I think, in my time here. So pretty cool when that's going on. And I do want to say thank you. Mr. Cabral covered, Dr. Thompson covered. I was able to drive some of the kids out for the LeConte survey. I just love that trip. It's just cool what the kids are doing up there, you know, doing real. As a previous science teacher, I love seeing real hands-on. I mean, that is the nitty-gritty of science and, you know, shared with the universities here in Alaska. It was an amazing day out there, so I was also very fortunate. I was able to work on my tan. I was reading a great business management book, and I caught a fish while I was out there as well. So it really was like, it's like manna from heaven here. This day is fantastic. So I had a great trip, but again, thanks to Vic Troutman for getting that on. John Painter went as well as a chaperone and helped the kids out. So pretty cool. Coming up, lots going on. Baccalaureate is Tuesday the 27th, so that's a week from tonight at 6 p.m. in Wright Auditorium. 7 p.m.? Thank you. I got my time off. I got the setup time in there. And that's followed by the slideshow.
Okay, the slideshow will be followed. 7 p.m.?
7 p.m., yeah, a week from tonight in Wright Auditorium, the 27th. It's the baccalaureate put on by the Petersburg Ministerial Association, and I'll be there just watching. Put a lot into that. That's pretty cool for kids. That's the first time they wear their cap and gown, I understand. So I know it's a big event, and a lot of kids show up and have a chance to do that. And then, like I said, that is followed by the slideshow, probably just about 45 minutes to an hour after that. They'll do the senior slideshow. So that'll be a neat event for parents.
Well, and the senior slideshow is basically for the seniors and their parents, right?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I've always thought. I don't know if I've ever actually gone to it, so I wasn't sure.
And in some years past, they do it with the dinner. And then there's been a couple years, including this year, where they go out to the picnic area at Blind Slough. So that obviously doesn't really work to do the slideshow. So those nights, those 2 years, they do it after baccalaureate. So that's why it's a little bit different than last year. And then as Nicole alluded, just a few days there, and then they do their end of the year assembly, and everyone else moves up a grade, and they go out for picnic. And then the last day for seniors is the 30th, which is also the last day for the elementary kids. So. Sorry, the official last day on the calendar, you're right. After the picnic, they wrap up their finals and check out and are usually out of there by the 29th. So technically, the 30th is last. It's coming really fast, I guess, is a nice way to say it. and they're continuing right now to do, so you're probably taking some finals now, Nicole, to wrap up classes. Yeah, so they're, yep, and slowly start checking out those laptops for the last time, and kind of closing out shop for the seniors. So an exciting time for them, kind of sad time for us, but we're happy for them, proud of them. And then, of course, aiming for that graduation ceremony, as you heard on Tuesday, June 3rd. That is at 7 p.m. in the high school gym. That will happen there. That will also be the first day of for the people left behind, the 9th or 11th graders. They'll be starting their finals that Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of June. So, and then they'll check out on the 5th, and that will be the last day for students, as many of you know.
Well, is there graduation, Operation Graduation that night, or are they doing that?
They're doing Operation Graduation, right, Nicole? They did an invite today, I think.
We did. We had to run around the town. If you didn't see that, there were like four groups, and we had to hold ropes, and then we had to go on like a scavenger hunt, I guess you would say, and do four different activities, and then we got led to like the little park out there. And then we got pizza and root beer floats and our invitations to, and that'll be on the Tuesday after. I don't even know.
Tuesday night of the 3rd?
Tuesday. Right? No.
After graduation, or is it later than that?
Yeah, it might be.
It should be.
It's usually the night of graduation.
Yeah. Yes. I don't even know. It's just all blurred.
Everything's going on. And that was it. They got out of class just a little bit early, and then over their lunch break, they got to do that. It was a Harry Potter type of thing.
We got an owl.
Because they had owls. Yeah.
Graduation. That's pretty cool.
That's great. So, yes, Operation Graduation. The graduation practice probably for the board is 3 p.m. on the 3rd. So I know that's a big time for all of us to get there and see what this looked like, and Sue Harden will be there.
And can I ask a question?
No, go ahead. Yeah, please.
Do you board members all intend to attend graduation?
We're going to talk about that a little later on.
Okay.
Here, but
good question.
When you know.
Yeah.
Thank
you. So.
Because we can, unless I'm sick, I'm hoping to hand out diplomas this year. Last year, Sarah got to do it because I got sick. But normally I do. And then any other board member that cares to may come and sit, can march in and sit in the front rows if you desire.
And we hope you do. I think it's fantastic. It's a good time.
It's kind of a highlight of the year for the board, because that's the whole thing you're supporting. And so I would encourage you, and if you have any questions about graduation, please chat with me or Sue Harden, and we can kind of, it's just a neat experience. You've been to it before.
Well, it's quite comfortable chairs as compared to the bleachers. And it's not quite as hot as up there in the bleachers.
I never thought about that.
Well, you know, you have to have done this for a few years to get perspective.
That's great. And then finally, just to allude to Dr. Robinson's talk, we did get our SBA results back just very recently. Bridget Witsock is our test coordinator, and it's going to do a good job getting that. The staff have them. They will not deeply analyze it until the fall in service, just because there's so much going on. It really gives them a time to start the year fresh and look at them. But I can tell that many of them have been able to look at them already and just use it as one piece of the assessment pie. And parents will be getting a mailing home with the final grades of the year. So it's probably something.
Okay. And what does SBA stand for?
The standards-based assessments. And so those are the ones put out by the state. It's also the HSGQE, the high school graduate qualifying exam. And that's the last year, probably, that that's the required 10th grader to, you must pass that to get a diploma in the state of Alaska. So those results also come out for 10th graders. And so those 3 through 10th grade. So yeah, Erica's got a batch, and I've got a batch.
Yeah, and the legislature just removed that, I believe.
I did believe
the
they did, yeah.
Signed
so,
it yet, but.
Yeah, so we did. They just took that test in early April, the first week of April, and we just got that the results from that test. But then after this year, I believe it's all not this. The SBAs will continue on just as an indicator of how they're doing statewide and on those assessments, but the graduate qualifying exam required to, will not be around anymore, we think. Any questions for me?
Cheryl.
Jean. I just want to say thank you for giving more information out to the fifth graders and their parents that are moving up.
Oh, okay.
Because it is, and it's a different, and it would have been a lot better if we had it too. But I just appreciate it, and I believe the parents will appreciate it too.
Good, thank you. And Erica's done a good job of kind of saying, hey, they're asking more, let's do more, let's do more. So it's been really helpful getting direction from the other side of the parking lot. That's great. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Erica, Clude Painter Elementary.
So we're getting down the list of things I'm not going to repeat, which is great. Yep, it's very busy. We are wrapping up, but we are really already looking towards the fall and thinking about class configurations for next year and how many students are coming in. And we did some different things with our kindergarten registration this year, which I think went really well. We actually handed out personal invitations to all the families, and we had Carly make pizza, and we had some activities for the kids. We did a little bit more of an overview, just thinking about all these transitions a little bit more, you know, fifth to sixth and incoming kindergarten. And sometimes I think we just get so used to this is what we do and how we go, and we think it's all just clear. And sometimes it isn't, I don't think. So, you know. So anyway, that was really successful, and we actually had a great turnout. I mean, I think we only had maybe one family that didn't come or something. You know, people really appreciated the kind of the personal touch to that. So we're looking at about 33 total, which is not, you know, we'd love to have 40. But we are thrilled with the 33, and we will happily take them on. So finishing up lots and lots of assessments and getting things ready for report cards and information for parents to go home. And that's teachers are really, really busy with all those kinds of things right now. We're having our end of the year assembly on the 27th, 9:30. We will also do our drawing that day. Nope, that's not right. I don't have the right date for that. 27th is the day that the last, you know, big musical show for the elementary school. So Little Kids Rock will be singing, and it's a great time. So if you're looking for another show, come on out on the 27th.
So what time is that on the 27th?
That's at 9:30 in the morning. The kids really have a blast at
that.
Those
are fun.
Yeah. And then due to the, you know, renovation project, which is really all we talk about now, but we have foregone many of our typical spring events at the elementary school because we have a lot of equipment around, and it's just nuts. Really, is what it is. So we did not have a field day this year, and we didn't do our hot dog cookout, which was really sad. But then we had this wonderful offer from our with our pie group and Ann Tate with the theater, and we're going to get to show our kids, are going to go on the last day of school and get to have a special showing of Rio 2. So that will be a fabulous event for the kids, too. So they're excited about that. We appreciate PI. They will be helping to financially pay for that, and Anne is giving us a kind of a special deal too. So that will be fun. PI meeting tomorrow night, last one of the year, gearing up for next year again already. And then the last day for us is the 30th, and we'll be doing our drawing that day for the Masons who provide the Bikes for Books program. And this will be our second drawing for second, third, fourth, and fifth grade students who earn their accelerated reading goals. Their names go in the hat, and we draw two names for two bikes, two helmets, and two locks. And that is a pretty hot item. We finished up our No Child Left Behind monitoring visit last week. They were here from Juneau to look at our migrant program, Title I program. Those were the main reviews. And we did very well. I mean, everything was in order. We had things we need to work on. That's mainly for the reading support programs that we have for kids. And then the migrant is for kids in fishing families and different supports that they can receive. And Carrie Curtis is overseeing both of those programs next year, and we're pretty excited about some changes that she wants to see to those programs next year, especially the migrant program. I think it's going to look a lot different. So we're excited about that. And I will leave the rest of the details about renovation to Mr. Tate. Anything else for me? It's been a great year. It has. Crazy as it is, it's been a great year.
Okay, Jamie Cabral, Activities Director.
The boring world. Not much. It's almost over. It's been a busy year. Going off of what Nicole said, yes, girls track and field won the region championship in stylish fashion. I believe they scored 190 points. The next closest team on the girls' side was at 109.
Wow.
So they dominated, and which I kind of told Coach Brad, if he didn't dominate, something was wrong. But no, just kidding. They did phenomenal. The boys came down to the very, very last event. Sitka ended up winning by 0.7 seconds on the relay, and we lost. The Sitka ended up with 163.5 points, and we ended up with 160. So it was a close one in the boys' race as well. So we are sending 15 high school students up to the track state meet this week. They're leaving on the ferry. It's amazing the Alaska Airlines prices, how it's cheaper to fly out of Juneau to Anchorage than Petersburg, and it's a $300 difference. So we've got Planes, Trains, Automobiles on how they're getting up to Anchorage. So they're going to jump on the ferry tomorrow night, overnight at Thunder Mountain, take a bus to the airport, fly back up, then fly back down and take the ferry back here. So logistics fun. Baseball got their first varsity win 2 weeks ago against Ketchikan. So they are moving up in the ranks. We just had some home games with Sitka, heading to Juneau next week and then getting to go over to Sitka and play on the lovely field turf that they have there, also where State will be held in Southeast this year too. We'll be at Moeller Field in Sitka. So would not surprise me if they earn a berth by some crazy year that we're having in the baseball world in Region 5. So it's kind of just all over the map. And right now we are kind of fighting for third and fourth seating. So going really well there for our spring sports. Middle school volleyball. We just got done almost a month ago now. Seems like forever. They still keep nagging that they want open gyms every single day. We had 42 girls out for middle school volleyball. Middle school track just got done with their track and their track meet down in Ketchikan, and they did a phenomenal job down there. We had a bunch of middle school 8th grade girls kind of beating up on the high school girls too down there. So it's going to be interesting in the next couple of years. So they did fantastic there. And I did my percentages, which I like to do at the end of the year to see how many students are participating in both the high school and the middle school, and just kind of get a percentage of who is participating in some type of activity, athletic and non-athletic, with music and all of that. And it came out to, at the high school, we have a total of 143 that are enrolled, and 114 were involved in some type of extracurricular activity, so that came out to about 80%. And then in the middle school, we have 114 enrolled students, and 100 participated in at least one activity, so about an 87% participation rate there, which is good. So we still need 14 more at the middle school to get out and do something, and a couple more at the high school. So we'll be dragging them through the hallways and make sure we sign them up for something. Those of you that got to see it or missed it, Floyd Dryden, on a very rare occasion, their middle school band, 8th graders, got to travel south and visit us. We had the ability to, the opportunity to have them in our building and kind of do a collective band and start creating those relationships between the kids, because they will see each other probably for the next 4 years as they go to music fests and all these other music events. And it was really cool just to see what another middle school band program looks like. So the kids did phenomenal on that one, too. So Mr. Lenhart and, oh, my goodness, I cannot remember his name from Floyd Dryden. Yeah, I see his face. What was the name?
Mr. Busey.
Yes, Mr. Busey, animated guy. He was fun. But the kids had a great time. It was sunny that weekend, too, and we had baseball at the same time. So it was, I'm sure you saw a lot of people rolling through town. And then, goodness, what else we got? Oh, we had Teacher Appreciation Day in the middle school and the high school. Lots of good food. All the parents did phenomenal at that. Thank you to all the parents and the staff for getting teacher appreciation food and keeping our bellies full as we go around the world. As I go back now down on my list, the 15 students that we have that qualified for state, Alan Jensen, Isabel Ith, Casey Bell, Ian Fleming, Billy Ware, Evan Marsh, Ben Zarlengo, Fran Abbott, Emma Chase, Kaylee Eddy, Robin Schwartz, Hannah Funt, Grace Weller, Mariah Taylor, and Abby Taylor. So they will all be going up to state and representing Petersburg. They did phenomenal. So really, really good job. Isabel Ith is a freshman, and she earned the maximum points of 40 points of what you can earn at a track meet. And so she was very close second behind another gal from Ketchikan that also scored 40 points for her team of being the outstanding athlete at the track meet for the tournament, for the Region 5 meet. So kudos to her being very, very close in getting that. But she's got another 3 years to dominate, so which she will. If you missed the luau, I'm so sorry you missed it. And Dr. Thomason's wife got to dance. Our hula class did awesome. We had a fantastic time there. Erica Clute Painter went somewhere else. So I know you were. It was really good. We did a nice job. Thanks to the community for doing that one. PBIS, too, our positive behavior intervention supports, which you guys will hear more of, and the Eagle Pride that they're doing over at the elementary school. And we're coming up with a name at the middle school and the high school. And I think it'll be Dormer Pride. Yeah, it will be. Lori Roth, who is our, I can't remember her exact title, but she's kind of our main supervisor for PBIS, was down here, my goodness, for a week, I think, and going through the buildings and making sure everything's up to par. And if you see signs all across buildings on this is how we act when the bus is here and things of that sort, that is all the positive behavior intervention things that we are doing. So a lot of transition times that we're going through there and tracking all the student behavior, which is one of the big ones that we'll do with our systems, and it's going to see what our commonalities are, so we can kind of attack those areas and do them right. And there is only 75 days left till cross country starts, so be ready to go cross country, kids. August 4th of day one, just around the river bend, and yes, you may come to practice. You get a fifth year. But yeah, just I'm looking towards that and making sure we got packets ready for activities in the fall. They are coming up quick, and we have a lot going on in the fall already. The calendar, our activity calendar, is updated all the way through February 14th. Hopefully, we can get some more. The really, really big events are on there for music fests, art fests, where those things will be going. And as far as Petersburg, we're doing pretty darn well in the region, so it's pretty fun. Any questions you got for me?
Nicole.
Yes.
When the middle schoolers were there, the power went out, and they were still playing, so they knew their stuff.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes, we had a two-hour power outage.
I was very impressed.
When the Floyd Dryden's band was here. Uh-huh. Also when we were playing against Juno Douglas and the scoreboard went off. Sure, I remember that one. We're up at the ball field. Electricity went off, kept playing. The band kept playing, and thank goodness it was a sunny day because I think we're all getting sunburned out there too at the end. So they did well. They did really, really well. So questions?
Okay. Well,
thank
you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always appreciate your reports. All righty. Upcoming dates and media announcements. Okay, May 26th is Memorial Day holiday, no school. And 30th is the last day for the elementary school, elementary students. I'm assuming the teachers keep going?
We'll be moving in Boxing.
Oh, all those fun things, yes. Into those lovely vans that Dan Tate mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Okay. And June 3rd is graduation, 7 p.m. in the high school gym. And the 5th is the last day for the middle and high school students. The 6th is the teacher work day. And June 9th, we set the board agenda. What happens is the president and one other person get together with Rob, and we work on setting the agenda for the upcoming meeting. So if anybody would like to help me out, we usually do it like about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It just kind of depends on people's schedules, but that's generally what we've been doing. Yeah, I don't know if that works for them. Who would like to help me?
What day of the week is that?
It is the 9th, I believe. It must be a Monday, is it? Mm-hmm. And it's after school is already out. Yeah, you'll still be here.
All right, we'll do it.
And we've actually been doing it a little bit online, but this week I found that for me it's a little easier to actually be right there and talk to Dr. Rob and people about it. Rather than trying to do it over the internet, it just gets a little bit cumbersome for me.
That'd be great.
And then the other thing is our next regular board meeting is June 17th, and it will be Dr. Thomason's last meeting with us. And the Campus Connection is when we go to the KFSK radio, and they do a great job of interviewing us. And asking questions. What we do is we bring the board agenda, and we talk about what's on the agenda. And people can call in and ask questions. I don't believe in the 5 years Dr. Robbie's been here anyone's called yet.
We had one call, and it was Dave Berg, and he was calling in with a comment about a date that he wanted to make sure we understood.
Okay.
Remember that? Dave Berg called in.
Is your mic on, Rob?
Oh, you know what popped out?
There.
Yeah.
Okay, so who would like to do Campus Connection on June 17th? And that is at 12:30 at noon at KFSK.
I can do it.
And I could probably do it because I haven't actually done one in a while. We'll let you new people off the hook here.
For a while.
Yeah.
Not very long. I'll be happy to listen.
Okay, and then Baccalaureate is at 7 p.m. on Tuesday the 27th. And 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday the 27th also is Little Kids Rock, the elementary program. And they'll be in the middle school and the high school auditorium. Okay. So now we are down to old business. Elementary siding renovation project update. Dan Tate.
Uh, was commenting to Dr. Robb earlier that it's really hard to take pictures. All the lights are down in those classrooms and offices that they've been working on, so all you get is the bright sunshine outside. You try to take a picture, and all you get these big bright spots. But we have some daily inspection reports from the contractor, and we can take a peek at those in a minute. But what I wanted to do is read to you a report that was taken or given to, let me start again. Tony Yorba, one of the principal architects and partner at Yorba Jensen Yorba Lot, was in town on Friday to do a field observation report, kind of a process that they do. And I'd just like to read to you what it says. The first little bit's a little bit dry, nuts and bolts, but then it'll get into a little bit more remarks about the project and how it's going. So, under the category work performed by the general / subcontractor, it appeared that the general contractor's work with the windows, framing, and installation was complete on the south elevation. The demolition was complete on the north and the west walls, except for the stair vestibule on the north side. Library windows were complete, but installation of insulation was not complete on the CMU-faced walls. That would be cinder block walls. Insulation was available to install on the site, though. Painters are working on repainting the outside north wall of the library. Prep and some paint was already done in some of the classrooms. Drywallers were completing second and last coats around the classroom windows. Patching appeared largely complete at existing walls. Under the topic conversations. Contractor reported that he was nearly complete with phase one, the early start work, and may discontinue work until he has full access to the rest of the school. He reports good cooperation with school staff and has not been delayed by any school actions in any way. School District, Rob Thomason and Dan Tate, as well as elementary school staff, Erica Klupainer, report that the contractor has been very good to work with. School has been kept clean and the work proceeding in an orderly manner so that the school has proceeded generally without interruption. Under the category remarks. Quality of the work observed is very good. I observed the finished building wrap at the phase one early stage areas, including window installations, and had no objections to the work I could observe. Work accomplished by the finished subcontractors was also very good, with dust well contained and floor covering protection in place. There was an existing crack in the CMU wall above the boiler room door, again the cinder block wall. It has been referred to the structural engineer for his opinion whether additional work should be accomplished to correct it. This particular crack was underneath the metal siding that had been up there, so it was nothing that we could have seen ahead of time. The contractor asked about the color of the soffits and the inside of the fascia. I refer to other staff for direction. And he included some photos. And that was pretty much essentially the end of his report. And that was timely. That came in today. He was here Friday. Generally very good to talk with, and he's been very pleased, as we have been, with the work that's accomplished over there. And if you would like to see it, I would just recommend that you come by and ask for me, and I'd be happy to take any and all of you around, because it is so hard to have some good pictures to share with you in this type of setting. So.
Well, I've driven by it a few times. It looks like it's going well.
Oh, yeah. I really like the design myself.
Yeah. You said something about the color of the soffits, or?
Well, the color of the soffits, I'm colorblind, so help me out here, Erica. They're kind of a bluish, industrial blue is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And I think the question was whether or not the inside areas needed to be done as well. Mm. And that hasn't been resolved yet.
So. Okay. Well, I guess the only thing I have is that every time I go, not every time, but sometimes when I go into the high school and I realize that I was on the school board that put Ketchikan colors in the high school, I always feel a little bad about that. Actually, they're Ketchikan. They're not Wrangell.
They're dark,
burgundy.
Yeah.
The maroon. Maroon is actually Ketchikan. Yep. So I think we have this little voice that says, uh-oh, watch out.
Dr. Robb, did you see any pictures in there worth noting? They did a really nice job patching the library walls that were recently painted with murals, and they really just blended that paint in there very nicely. I'm pleased with that. And that was really the only room I had concerns about, because the rest are being painted in an industrial, is it beige?
Yeah.
And also on the website, if you want to mention.
Yep. And for the listeners out there, just go to the school's website, www.pcsd.us, and we have a slideshow there.
And we'll be adding photos there as they progress. We pull them out of Tony's report and others that we take. So as the summer progresses, we'll just keep adding photos. There's started with 9, then there's 11, now there's 13, and it just progression. So it's kind of fun to track it. We also have kids' photos here, and then, whoops. That's Carly Wells. I'll show you that one. She's been interviewed. Anyway, we've done away with the panorama of Petersburg. Edline has worked with us at our request to modify that stringer to make it so that we could feature a slideshow there and have our kids, because we thought school districts, about as beautiful as the ocean was and as beautiful as the picture of Petersburg is, school district is about kids, and we wanted kids featured. So there's our member track kids doing their thing. So. And then we were, just while we're here, Carly Wells was interviewed by the Genuine Alaska Pollock Association because of her use of fresh food. So we get people doing all kinds of stuff. Anyway, the whole reason to go there was for that.
So okay. I think the last significant thing to mention is once our staff is out of the building around June 5th, is it? June 4th, June 5th, give or take, the rest of the walls will start coming down in very quick order. And that's what we get to look forward to.
Okay.
Yeah, I do need to just note that about the staff. I mean, our maintenance crew and custodial crew, but the teachers and aides as well, who have just really worked with this whole thing and still managing to teach. And mm-hmm. they really are still managing to teach, which mm-hmm. is really a credit to the whole crew, actually, because school is still going on, and it's incredible to look out the windows and see containers coming down, walk out back, nope, you can't go there, there's a crane moving a building, you're going to have to go around, you know, I mean, it's just, anyway, but everybody's just, it's...
And thank you for working with us.
Well, and I have one question. I'm assuming, but I don't know if I'm right or not, that the playground's going to be closed this summer?
Yes.
For the public, I've had people ask me
That's
whether
correct.
The playground will be available for the public to use, and I said I don't think so. I would suspect the Dolphin Street will probably be pretty much shut down.
I don't think the street will be shut down per se,
but the part in front of the
anything element. Behind our fences definitely will be shut down, except there will be access for the community garden back through the pools, and the new pools will be their north parking lot, the one that's not used mm-hmm. as often. So they can come through the gate and then come down and get to the community garden that way.
Okay.
But otherwise, playgrounds, yes, they will be used for storage of construction materials, just like the side that you see now.
Okay.
Both of them?
Yeah, both of them.
Okay, I thought so, but I wanted to make that clear because I've had a few questions on that.
Well, that's a very good point. I'm glad we're getting that information out.
Any other questions? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Budget presentation, Karen Quislin.
Hello. Okay. So tonight's budget presentation is actually the result of about 5 months worth of work, meetings with the admin team, with the board. This is the third time I've actually come in front of the board and talked about budget considerations for fiscal year 15 budget. And I'm hoping tonight that you will approve this budget. In the board packet, and there's also some copies over on the table, is a copy of what we are required to send to the state. And I included this because I wanted to make sure each of the board members knew that this is what we send to the state. And we are restricted by certain Alaska legislations in the way that we present our budget to the state. So if we go to page 2 in the this document, it is a budget summary. And I want to talk about a couple things on this page, and then we'll go to our PowerPoint. So the beginning fund balance that is at the very top of the page is what the school district projects we will have remaining at the end of fiscal year 2014, which is our fiscal year ends June 30th, 2014. So we are projecting that our beginning fund balance for fiscal year 2015 will be $951,000 approximately. And we are limited on how much we can carry forward from year to year. So we cannot carry forward more than 10% of our previous year's expenditures. Did I say that correctly?
Correct. There was
okay.
Legislation in the legislature to increase that to 15% because of the vagaries of school district funding and districts like Petersburg that are trying to be conservative and build contingency funds, we're having difficulty with that. So sounds like a lot of money, $900,000, but in fact it's very little in terms of our operating expenses for 2 or 3 months.
Right, exactly. So that is something that we are restricted on by Alaska statute. Another thing that we're restricted on is if you look at the very bottom of the page, over 70% of our expenditures needs to be direct student instruction. And for our fiscal year 2015, we're 73% of our budget is going to direct student instruction. So I kind of went to the top and skipped to the bottom. We will get to the meat of the budget with the PowerPoint.
If I can chime in on that, yes. 73%, that is a hugely important number. Many districts in the interior, because their fuel costs, they're paying $9 a gallon for oil, they're in the 60s, 61, 62, 63%. If you fall below 70%, you must go before the Department of Education and request a waiver. Most districts do not make it. We're one of the few that not only makes it, but exceeds it. So that's a feather in the cap of the staff, of the business office, of the board, that we're above 70%. That's something to be able to say. And what that means is more money is going to instruction than most other districts. So,
well, and it is important for people to understand that that other 25% includes all the heats, lights,
yes,
those sorts of
student activities.
Yeah.
Oh, student activities, mm-hmm. too. Okay.
Yep. So I wanted to draw your attention to the summary page, but I really want to talk about the budget more in the sense of the PowerPoint, because it's a good graphical overview of everything that's in this budget that we'll send to the state.
Same information in the budget, but much more understandable and pleasing format in the, so you'll see members match. If you want to study this, study it and then ask us questions, because we love talking about the budget, because that is where our future lies. But we love presenting it this way, so Karen's done a very nice job on it.
And I might have one question here. I noticed when I was going through the part that you did, I put that's in my packet, that the salaries and the benefits are almost the same amount in each category. I mean, that we're paying almost as much out in benefits as we are in salaries. Does that include the state share of the presenters?
Yes, it does. Yeah. It does. And actually, okay. I point that out quite a bit here in the presentation. So,
okay.
Yep.
Because that's an important difference.
It's a very important difference.
Yeah.
And actually in this year's budget, even more so, because you'll see the large number that PERS insures. And like I said, I'll go into more detail on that. It went up quite a bit this year. And again, that comes down by Alaska statute. So, and it's all school districts, not just Petersburg. So we're projected 425 students for next fiscal year with 80 employees in 3 schools. So we did have legislation passed that increased the base student allocation, which I usually refer to as BSA, by $150. So it went up to $5,830 per student. There's no increase in the borough appropriation. We're still anticipating $1.8 million. The increase in E-rate funds, John Clute Painter and I, we apply for something called E-rate every year. And it's for our internet use, and this year it's next year's application is for $93,000. We haven't been approved. We're 99.9% that it will go through without any problems. So that will be a small increase in our revenue. We have a decrease in enrollment by 5 students. This year we have 430. Next year we're anticipating 425. Due to legislation, they got rid of Senate Bill 18 and House Bill 65. They replaced that with House Bill 278, which is for our district, we'll receive $195,000. That's actually a reduction from this year's funding of about $16,000. So even though they replaced one for the other, it's going to actually negatively impact our revenue.
But then they can nicely say that they gave you $195,000.
Well, they did give us more because they increased the base student allocation, but it's not as much as it appears to be.
Cheryl?
Yes.
And this does not, we do not get funds for homeschoolers, right? That is not included. We don't get a BSA.
We cannot, and Sharon might be able to help me better with this because I don't do the OASIS report. I believe that they have to be taking a core class or a portion, a certain number of core classes for us to have any credit.
Which we do not operate a homeschool program, therefore we get no funds for homeschoolers.
Right,
that's
the
correct
statement.
Oh, I'm sorry, okay.
Because people, I mean, there's people, yes you do, and no you don't, and yes you do, so I'm trying to get it out.
If a homeschooler, there is, let's call a 1.0 allocation. If a homeschooler takes a course from us, we get 0.25 of, like Galena or IDEA, we get 0.25 of that allocation. If they take two or three courses, we can get 0.50. But there's a defined amount, and the only way we get 1.0 is if they are enrolled in our school full-time or we are offering a homeschool program with an approved curriculum, which we investigated. We chose not to do that. So, yes, we get some funds for some homeschoolers who are what we call partially enrolled. If that's it gets a little bit murky.
Okay.
Like if they come and take a shop class and an art class and they're taking their academics through IDEA or Raven or CyberLinks, then part of their allocation, then Raven or CyberLinks give us a portion of that allocation for the services we are delivering.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And that does not apply to elementary students, or does it?
It could.
Okay.
We have. If we do a part-time enrollment, it's a little more complex in the elementary because it's like reading happens at many times throughout the day, and art happens at different times on different days. It's a lot more problematic with an elementary than a secondary because of the defined schedule.
PE and swim.
PE and swim are other areas where they can take it. Yeah.
That's what we work on.
Yeah. Thank you. That answer it?
Yeah.
Sharon's great because she just provides the numbers. I just plug them into the formula, so I don't have all the answers. Also on the revenue, we have an increase on our on-behalf rates. Those are the PERS and TERS rates. They are...
PERS being Public Employee Retirement
yes.
System, TERS being Teacher Retirement System.
And these are funds, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, these are funds that the state... contributes on behalf of school districts into the retirement program, and the percentage next fiscal year 2015 for PERS is 22.03% and for TERS it's 58.19%. Mm-hmm. So we are required to report that as revenue and we're required to report it as expenditure. However, there's no cash flow through the school district at all.
We never see it.
And
those numbers are the result of a major actuarial error several years ago at the state level. And if they were to be charging that to the school districts, that's all we'd be doing is making up that deficit that was an error on this part of the state. So this is actually a good thing.
So just over $2 million of our budget is in the on-behalf rates, which is a lot. And it's basically inflates our budget. So...
Well, and sometimes you will hear legislators act as if we are getting this money, when actually it really is a mistake that was made by the legislature quite a lot of years ago that's now, they didn't correctly set the whole thing up at one point. And so they're having to put money into the program, but instead just putting it into it, they're running it through our books, so it makes it look like we're paying it and we're not.
Right. Okay, the expense side, Rob? Good news, no increase in our health insurance premium. In this budget, we have a 0.5% decrease in our fuel for heating. And part of the reasoning for that is the new siding on the elementary school project. We're hoping to reap some benefits
that's
from that.
That's a projection. That's not a hard projection.
Right.
Yeah.
0% change in electricity. Also for the same reason, we're anticipating that our increase in our insulation in the elementary school will help with our electricity for heating. And Dan has been doing a fabulous job going around and making sure that lights are turned off and really, really tightening up the belt. So
the borough is actually charging us a 6% increase in our electricity rate, though, are they not?
No.
Not
it was a, it was it was a 3% increase that they were projecting to increase for us. Now, when I looked at last year's or this year's budget, the current budget we're in, and compare it to actuality, we felt that we had over budgeted for fiscal 14, so we kept it flat for fiscal 15.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I guess what I was trying to point out to the general listening public is that the rate that the borough's charging us has actually gone up.
Yes, that's true.
We're saving money, but that's because we're being frugal.
That's right.
It's not because the borough is helping us out.
Okay, 10% increase in workers' comp and liability insurance, 15% increase in our property insurance. The salary increases are based on the negotiated agreement. Classifieds go up 2% and certifieds 1%. And again, we have the PERS and TERS. If you put a little equal sign between the two on the revenue and the expenditure side, they're going to be zero because they're going to cancel each other out. So for fiscal year 2015, our total projected revenues is $10,826,000. I have special revenue included in here in our revenues because we have already applied for the majority of our grants. We haven't necessarily been awarded them, but we're 99.9% sure that we'll receive our special revenue sources. So when I get to the next slide, I'm going to talk about what those special revenue sources are. If you look at your summary page on page 2, you'll see that our general fund of $9,921,000 matches our total projected revenues that we're sending to the state. So now we're going to talk about 8% of the pie, which is our special revenue sources. Those are our No Child Left Behind, which is the blue. We receive $191,000 for the No Child Left Behind. That's our Title I, Title I Reading, Migrant, and Title IIA, which is professional development. Title VI-B is our special education funding. And we have a small portion of that goes into our preschool program that we have a teacher that supports, not 100%, it's like a 0.1 FTE. Carl Perkins, the little green pie, is our Voc Tech funds. Those are federal funds that flow through the state, and we've received those for the last few years. So these first three things, the NCLB, the Title VI-B, and the Carl Perkins, all come from the state of Alaska, even though they're federal funds. The Healthy Living Grant is a four-year grant that we applied for last year, and Ginger's going to talk about that a little bit later, about some of the great things that she's doing there. And that's $149,914. We have a partnership with Petersburg Mental Health, and that's the suicide prevention grant for $25,000. And that, I believe, is a four-year grant as well. It's either 3 or 4 years. Three, okay.
Is this the first year of it then?
Yes. Okay.
Yes, it is. The little orange piece of the pie is the U.S. Forest Service Garden Project. We're on our fourth or fifth year with that one, and $13,000 for that special revenue source. We're kind of coming to the end of that project, and we're trying to think about how we're going to be sustaining that. So that's the future. I mean, we will be sustaining that project in the future, but still get a little funding from the Forest Service for it. Alaska Foods, $28,000. That is all the Alaska foods that we bring into the school. We use it currently in our food service program, and we use it in culinary arts. And I believe the governor signed another year of that. I know it was in the bill, wasn't it?
I believe so.
Okay. And that comes from the Department of Commerce. We get transportation funding from the Department of Education for $171,000. That funds our school bus transportation, as well as some other trips that the kids are able to do. We contract out with the bus and take the kids out to Blind Slough and the Hatchery, and we can use it for activities. And National School Lunch Program, $148,210. That's 16% of our special revenue sources. And obviously, that's our lunch program, USDA. And Indian Education, that's $30,000. And that program supports Native children that need just some additional counseling support, or I don't know, what else do they do?
Rachel Etcher and Jamie work specifically with those youngsters in a counseling mode, career counseling or academic counseling or behavior counseling.
Yep.
That's how we fund parts of that.
So none of these are reported to the state on our operating budget. These are in addition to that. We all have to apply. It takes a team to apply for these, and there's different people that work on these grants, and they really help make our school district how as great as it is. So 92% of our total projected revenues does come from the general fund, and I'm going to start in the upper right-hand corner with the borough appropriation, which is $1.8 million. That's 18% of our 92% piece of our pie. We bring in a small amount of earnings on investment. It's pretty minuscule, $850. Local revenues, that's $60,000. What makes that up is we have some facility use fees that we collect. We small grants that don't have their own fund for, they get coded into local revenues. Sale of obsolete equipment goes into here. Sometimes we get a small donation that would go in there. Student activity fees is $6,000.06. That's actually our gate receipts for the games that we hold in town. Student fees are $45,000, and that is fees that we charge for the laptop, insurance, for classes, for activity fees, lost books. And the next little piece of the pie is procurement card revenue. Last year, the board approved the use of a MasterCard that earns approximately 1%. And so this will be the revenue we're projecting to see for our usage from September to March, because it closes in March. So the following year, fiscal year 2016, that number should double or triple.
Yeah, as the board may recall, when she made this initial presentation, she made some projections, and this is actually exceeding, I believe, the projections we thought we'd receive in terms of just spending the money using that P card or purchase card, buying a lot of our stuff on that as opposed to purchase orders. It's actually saving us money and time and staff time, and we're getting money back on the purchases, so it's a win-win deal. You had a question. I'm sorry.
No. I was just thinking the $45,000, the student fees. I mean, that when people they pay a fee for the computers, but that actually pays for the insurance.
That's correct. But it goes into student fees.
Yeah, which I guess is always. I think some parents feel that they've been paying for the computer. Well, they're actually not paying for the computer.
No.
They're paying for the insurance.
Yep.
They're paying to fix the computer. So if it breaks, they aren't paying for the computer.
Yeah. Right.
I think that sometimes it's good for people to be clear on.
Yeah,
absolutely. The biggest piece of our pie, 57%, $5,661,000, is from the foundation. That comes directly from the state. That is based on our ADM, average daily membership, our basically our OASIS report for how many kids are in the classroom in October. So if we go to the next piece, the 18.1, that's the TERS on behalf. That's just the on behalf portion of it. And then next to that is the PERS, which is 2.6%.
And the TERS is for the teachers, and the PERS would be for the other people that
public
employees.
Yep. House Bill 278, $195,000, and E-rate, $93,000.
Are we restricted in what we can spend the $195,000 for this year?
That is a good question. I don't have the answer to that.
I don't believe so. I don't believe we're restricted.
Because some years I know they tie it to energy or they tie it to something.
No, it's not tied. I don't believe that's just...
I concur with you. I don't think it's tied to anything in specific or, you know, restricted.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
So the one thing about school accounting is our account codes are 15 numbers long, and they're broken out by fund, location, function, program, and object. So when I talk about function, I'm actually talking about what we're doing in the school. So 44% of our expenditures are in regular instruction. That's all of our regular classroom, the teachers, the teaching supplies, the aides, everything that we do as far as like regular instruction. And then 14%, the red piece of the pie, is special education instruction, and that's $1.3 million. That's our special education program. We have four teachers in that program. Is that right? Yep. And if we keep going around, we've got support services students. That's our counselors and our tutor. That's 4% of our expenditures. Our purple piece, which is support services instruction, that is librarians and technology. That's those budget. School administration, which is 4%. Those are our principal's budgets. School administration support services, 2%. That's our secretary's budgets. District administration, that is the superintendent's office as well as the Board of Education. So it's both combined. And that's 4.2%. District admin support services, that's the finance office. That's my office. It's 2.3% of our budget. Operations and maintenance, that's 14.7% of the expenditures. Student activities, 3.2%. And food service is 0.6%. We always have to transfer some funds into food service. It's not a self-sustaining program. It would be impossible for it to be unless we charged a lot for lunches. So we always transfer enough in to cover personnel costs.
How many special education students do you have?
Boy. District wide.
Well, and we get extra funds for the intensive, but we don't get additional funds in the formula for the regular special ed students, right?
Right.
So there is some additional. There's quite a lot of additional funds for the intensive students that comes from the state.
So then, as we break the previous pie was what we do as far as our functions. Now this pie here is by object. Now when we say by object, what we're talking about is personnel costs. So I'll go through this. So our certified teachers is 29.45% of our budget. That's actually a decrease of 3% from last year. Our non-certified salaries is 12.83% of our expenditure budget. And our benefits, as Jean was pointing out, is 38.46% of our entire budget. And that's actually an increase of 2%. Of course, that has to do with the presenters on behalf.
Because if you look at the benefits the way they're in the budget, the people are getting as much in benefits as they're getting in salary.
That's partially, though, because of the PERS and
TERS. That's what I'm saying. So I think that's important to point out because our employees are not actually seeing that much benefit.
No, they're not.
Not even close.
Yeah. You know, and from my perspective, our budget is overinflated by $2 million because we're required to report this. It's not any type of cash flow that goes through the school district. It's just a reporting what we're required to report by law. So
it just makes it kind of confusing for people because someone might look at it and feel that we were actually spending this from or not.
I agree. And it's already a complicated subject, and then they throw the PERS and TERS on behalf in there and it becomes even more complicated.
Here, by including it, does that increase our 10% bill that we're allowed to carry over? Is that one small benefit of it?
Not really, because it's a zero. It's a zero effect. I mean, it does increase our expenditures, but it also increases our revenue. I don't know. I wouldn't say so. Okay. As a matter of fact, when we get audited by the state, which we do, they'll if you approve the budget tonight, they will audit it, and they actually pull those numbers out to see what our percentage is at the end. Okay. So I usually try and do it before they get it to make sure I know where we're at. So we've talked about certified salaries, non-certified salaries, and the benefits. Now, professional and technical, 0.74% of our entire expenditure budget. Those are our CERT contracts. It's our contract with PBIS. And
CERC is real quickly. CERC is the Southeast Regional Resource Center. We contract with them for some technology support. PBIS, we contract with a consultant, positive behavior interventions and supports. And so those are just services that larger districts, they can hire someone to do that and have them on staff. We are not of that capacity to do that. So we get a lot of dollar bang for our buck by hiring those support services.
Well, and they also send in, I'm assuming within, I don't know if it's within this or if it's in another spot, the people that come in that had give help to special ed students. And
that's part of CERC also.
That's actually, yeah. But that's funded out of Title VI-B.
Yeah, it's a different
that's
place.
Different. Okay. Yep. Staff travel, $60,000. That basically equals our professional development because some of it we're required to do with the state, and then some of it's just, you know, we got to keep reaching for the higher ring. So student.
Could I stick something else
yep.
in right here? I'm a really strong supporter of professional development. I feel like we have done a really good job of that under Dr. Rob with the last 5 years. And I think it's really important for our students and staff to get an opportunity to go places and learn new things and get recharged. And I think we get a lot of bang for our buck out of that amount of money.
And the other thing is, as we're looking at this particular slide, this is for every department in the budget. So when we're talking about certified salary, we're talking about certified salary for the whole budget that we're sending to the state. And when we're talking about staff travel, we're talking about even my department. Mm-hmm. So it's $60,000 for staff travel, which is, like I said, equals professional development. That's not very much considering where we have to go and how many times sometimes we're required to attend state deed travel or deed workshops. Student travel is our activities budget. Utility services, which is 2.3% of our budget, that only covers phone, water, and sewer. You can see in there the green piece of the pie is energy. That's 6.1. That's just electricity and fuel. Other purchase services, that's 0.63%. That's our gym floor refinishing, carpet replacement, fire extinguisher inspections. Our insurance and bond premiums, those are those insurance costs that I had shared with you earlier as far as increases. Let's see. Supplies, materials, and media, that's 4.9% of our budget. That includes all of the teaching supplies, the freshman laptop computers, curriculum development. That's our other expenditures. $45,000, it's 0.46% of the budget. Those are the dues and fees that we pay to all the different associations that we're required to be part of. We have a small equipment budget of $31,000. That's for maintenance and for technology, and a small amount going back to each of the schools for desks that need repair, chairs, things like that. And $60,000 transfer to food service for personnel costs. That's 0.6%. And that's it.
Great job.
Do you have a comment?